Welcome to Create Your Reality, the show that empowers you with information on how to drive your brain and create a more purposeful, joyful, and fulfilling life for yourself in the process. Your host is Lynn Crocker. Each week, Lynn demystifies your brain's processes and shows you how to utilize tools that you already possess to identify habitual thought patterns that are not serving you. You'll hear from Lynn and other industry experts who will help you understand how your thoughts create your reality and how you can use this awareness to change your life from the inside out. This is all right here on Amazing Women of Power Radio, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International.
Hi, and welcome to Create Your Reality. I'm your host, Lynn Crocker. Today, I have the pleasure of chatting with Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein. Dr. Holstein is an author and practicing psychologist committed to helping girls, tweens, teens, and women of all ages develop a strong sense of self and the confidence, resiliency, and courage to explore their talents and potential to the fullest. She is the originator of the Enchanted Self, a positive psychology method for increasing happiness. Today, we're going to talk about how she uses her concept of the Enchanted Self and positive psychology to help women rediscover and reclaim the aspects of themselves that they're proud of. Unlike traditional psychology, which focuses on fixing what is wrong, positive psychology celebrates what is right. I love this approach, and I'm so excited to learn more. So let me go ahead and welcome Barbara to the show. Hi, Barbara. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Lynn. It's great to be with you.
Great. I'm so excited. So as I mentioned in the intro, we're going to be talking about a lot of your work and what you do. And as I said, you are a positive psychologist, and you coined the term or the phrase Enchanted Self. So let's begin by just telling me a little bit about what is positive psychology and really what do you do?
Okay, well, let me start with the phrase Enchanted Self, because I have a very interesting womanly story that I'll summarize quite quickly. I am a psychologist, and I have been treating women for many years. When I sort of felt there was something missing in the way I was trained and the way my husband was trained, he's also a psychologist, and all our friends, just like it bothered me like a sort of irritant. So it actually was my husband who came up with the idea. He said to me once, now he claims he doesn't even remember this miracle moment.
Wow.
He said, you know, he said, why don't you go and interview a bunch of women that aren't in your practice and see what you find out? And so I did exactly that, and I put together a bunch of questions, like what were the messages you received in childhood about who you should become and what is going to happen to you, and what do you wish for your children and grandchildren, and I threw in this question, what makes you most happy, what makes you feel most whole. Now, this was 2 years before the phrase positive psychology even existed.
Okay.
So I was looking over all my data of about 18 women that I had interviewed, and of course, a lot of them had negative things that happened in childhood with role expectations, as anyone over 40 can relate to, because
yes,
it's, you know, it's not that new. It's pretty old stuff for thousands of years, where women have been second class in many, many ways. You know, the son got to go to college, the son is the big shot in the family business, whatever, all sorts of things. But I discovered that all these women, once I got them relaxed enough and we were talking about happiness, all sort of like suddenly revealed this part of themselves that they were really proud of, that really worked well for them, that could have been a garden they were tending. It could be taking care of grandkids. It could be finally getting a high school degree and going on to the community college for some courses. It could be mentoring other people at work. There was always a gem, although sometimes I had to, like, really help them find it.
Yeah.
And so I, after much reflection and meditation, I had once, well, the original thing that floated across my mind was the disenchanted self, the enchanted self. And now I thought about that, and I thought, well, okay, let's just get away from the disenchanted. Mm-hmm. Let's just go to the enchanted self. Mm-hmm. Let's call this space of well-being, this sense of feeling whole, the enchanted part of each person.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, men have it too, but I wasn't dealing with men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was focusing on women because I felt they needed extra support, truthfully. And, you know, let's focus on giving it a name. So without a name, it's hard to even find a place.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to use the term enchanted self, and women got it, and they would, mm-hmm. it helped them admit and name the part of themselves that was doing really well and having fun and feeling happy. And, you know, happy mm-hmm. sometimes is the right word, and sometimes it's other words like a sense of well-being, meeting your stride.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always the same concept. It on around the edges, it can be different.
Mm-hmm.
And then positive psychology was birthed a couple of years ago, and actually, I was in the middle of writing my book, The Enchanted Self, for positive therapy.
Wow.
Which, when the term started to be used, so, you know, like many things that happen in the cosmos,
mm-hmm.
It'll be happening in many places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's what happened with positive psychology.
Mm-hmm.
The time had come to really the problem, the thing that I had was so annoying to me in the treatment room,
mm-hmm.
was that most clinicians were not helping their clients look for what was right about themselves,
mm-hmm.
and what was wonderful and should be celebrated, but were skewed toward what was wrong, the
mm-hmm.
problem.
Yeah.
And that does all sorts of things
Absolutely.
To the person in therapy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that is a very different approach from traditional therapy. And I know listeners
yes.
out there, I'm sure we've all had our fair share of therapy and of different types. And it is definitely, as you were saying, it is looking for what is wrong and how we're going to fix what is wrong for you, with you, instead of this wonderful shifting of what is right. And I bet
that... No, you still...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I just bet that's really effective. It might be hard for them to find what is right. You alluded to that. But what were you going to just say?
I was going to say that for the clinician, too, now coaches have a lucky break because, of course, well, coaching has become popular so much later than
mm-hmm.
than where I'm back. I'm back like 20 years.
Yeah.
But clinicians, by the fact that they were allied with the client in looking for the problems and working on the problems,
mm-hmm.
never got to see a complete picture of their own client.
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't see a whole picture, it's like being with the kid when he's in the back seat of the car having his tantrum.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
It's not the whole picture.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
So everyone was given a disservice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So now there's clinicians able to have a bigger, fuller picture with this approach
yes.
of their clients. And also, it really struck me, too, that I know just from, you know, very simple law of attraction, you know, high-level information, that when you're focusing on a problem, you're just creating more of the problem. So is that also
That's right.
kind of a philosophy of it?
Yes.
Too? Okay.
Yes. Now, I wasn't in my book, The Enchanted Self of Positive Therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever used the term the law of attraction, probably simply because I wasn't even that familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree 100%, and I think that's what I was feeling,
mm-hmm.
you know, that it's just the way we get when we are focusing on one side of a person and it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's like when I have clients, particularly women,
mm-hmm.
Now could happen with men, but all of a sudden they'll sort of panic because mm-hmm. the man's right for them or whatever. And
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden everything about him is like wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He eats wrong. The way he eats is disgusting. Now they may have been with him 15 years and they never
mm-hmm.
noticed.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's amazing. So,
mm-hmm.
But since that day of having the enchanted self float above my head as
mm-hmm.
I was meditating, it has definitely changed my life and my world as you talk about in creating your space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it made me go back in my own history and think about my own experiences through different lenses, which was very interesting. And sometimes I found that many of the things that I have, of course, are universal, but there are also things where I didn't have certain opportunities that clients and other people have had, while I had other opportunities, obviously. But learning to fall in love with yourself through a recognition of your talents and your own potential is a beautiful experience. And I love this expression that I just found about 2 years ago, and I quote it, but I don't remember the woman who said it. Be yourself, everyone else is taken. You know, and I just think it kind of sums up so much of what I try to do, is to validate the person that they have special talents and abilities, and they're here for a purpose. I am spiritual. I don't highly push that in the treatment room at all, unless someone wants to talk about that. But, you know, I do believe that if we were all alike, it wouldn't be servicing a positive world either.
It is the diversity of us and the way we think. But what you're saying, the key is each individual learning to love themselves, their own individual uniquenesses and talents.
Exactly.
And it's, you made a statement earlier when we were chatting that when you are working with somebody, and that sometimes it's hard for them to have access to what is good and what makes them happy and what makes them joyful. Because if somebody has lived, you know, let's say 40 years harboring negative feelings towards their childhood and negative self-images and really focusing on all the things that are wrong with them, that they just may be in a space where they can't see what's good about them. And so how do you tease that out of somebody?
Well, first of all, like you said to me before we were on the air, that your coaching practice involves really very intact people looking for a little support and focus and so forth. Positive psychology is not a tool, an overlay for the truly disturbed. For the truly disturbed person, they need the best clinician they can get to, possibly the best medication available, and they need someone who is right on top of helping them integrate their minds again to feel normal. And nothing else is as important. Now, if it turns out that the clinician happens to be, you know, the person happens to bring up that they're growing some lilacs and they came out beautifully this season, and and the therapist can build out a little bit, that's wonderful, and how did you learn, and, you know, oh, great. But really, they need everything that we know for whatever their mental status is, about helping them reintegrate, you know. Now, so getting past the real people with real illness, many, many people who come to see people like myself in private practice are highly functional, but do have areas that aren't working that well, and they may be feeling a lot of extra painful emotions they don't need to feel. And so with people who were quite intact, learning more about them in the first few sessions is number one, very important, because they will tell you their problem. That's why they came. You know, and from the very beginning, teasing out, I'd like to know a little more about what some of your strengths are, what you were good at in high school or even elementary school. And what do you see as some of your hidden potential, if the world were your oyster and, you know, no problem with finances, et cetera? What would you want to do or accomplish? And you kind of already are building that sense that we're exploring all of you. And you may or may not get back to it all the time, but it's there, and it has created another pathway.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I get more of a sense of how you would work with somebody and help them find their hidden gems with the beauty within themselves. And it's asking those really good questions, like you were just asking, you know, what, you know, like you said, if you hear somebody talking about gardening, well, what is it about your gardening? And talk to me about that,
right.
Getting them to talk.
Right.
And then it sounds like, and I just know from my experience coaching too, that then it does rise more up to the surface and the light comes on. I don't know. It's just a wonderful way to work with somebody. I getting this sense of how you are, and you have a very calm way of speaking, a very calm way of being. And so I'm sure when somebody gets around you, they just kind of relax and feel very safe. So that's, thank you so much for that overview of what you do in your practice. Now, I know you're also an author, and you bring in this concept of positive psychology into your books. Talk a little bit about your books. You've written books for tweens. Is that kind of your focus? Or?
Well, I've written a lot of books, more than we can talk about.
Okay.
Just to start with The Enchanted Self of Positive Therapy.
Yeah.
That is a book for women and or clinicians and those men that are interested to understand what it really happens in the treatment room when you move into a positive psychology model, and what it does to the clinician as well as the client, and also a lot of exercises to practice on your own as you read the book.
Okay.
So that was my path, sort of path into the writing experience beyond poetry in high school and, you know, here and there writing for the web and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That book is kind of my benchmark. And then after that, I wrote a number of books depending on what happened in my own life and what was important to me.
Mm.
But they always have the positive psychology thread. So I have a book that's very much like one of the chicken soup books called Recipes for Enchantment. The secret ingredient is you.
Nice.
And really, the what makes it different from the chicken soup books is that every short little essay or story then has an activity for you to go and rediscover certain positive parts of yourself. And they, of course, all connect to certain themes that come up with the different stories. Friendship, illness, change. You know, not all of them are happy themes, but there's always a happy experience that happens in the particular story. So that's one example. And then as the years went by, I helped my mother pull together her story. She was a writer the last 20 years of her life for, she belonged to a writing group, and she had she probably had 100 short stories, but she didn't know how to pull them together. So we pulled them together and helped her write a book called Feel Good Stories, and they go from her birth, the day she was going to be born, how her mother felt waiting at the maternity ward. Yeah, it was very cute. To her senior days in the retirement center, and some of the foibles and funny things that happened. So I got, you know, as you probably can hear in my voice, kind of great joy in doing a variety of books. The two that I'm most excited about at this very moment, you were right, they are for tweens and teens and girls. They, about 10, about 9 to 14, depending on the maturity level, would like these books. And the first one is The Truth, Diary of a Gutsy Tween. Well, the second is Secrets, Diary of a Gutsy Teen.
Okay.
The diary is the same. The diary is written by the same girl. She ages in the two books between about turning 11-ish to 14-ish. And she, the reason why they're positive psychology conceptually is that every theme that she has to go through, which we, most of these things we all did growing up, a crush, issues in the family, best girlfriends, worst girlfriends, you know, makeup, bullies, homework, you know, everything, puberty, all these subjects have their dark and their light to them, you know, things that work, things that didn't. And she goes through all the emotions, but she always does find a way to get through it mm-hmm. and to get on top of what happens to her. And there are questions in the back of each book that lend themselves to a mother and daughter just having fun with, or even the grandmother, mm-hmm. or the daddy, you know, whoever's interested. And mm-hmm. The parents could read the whole book, but they really don't have to, because almost each page, even though it all connects, each page has on it something that is a clear issue, like I felt sad today because,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
Or my parents were fighting, I heard them through the walls, it makes me feel this way or that way. So obviously there's a topic there.
Yeah.
And, of course, she falls in love twice, once in each book.
Uh-huh.
But most of us do think we're in love once or twice between, you know, 11 and 15.
Absolutely.
So.
No, it sounds like a really great book. And it's a great target market. It's a great age. And you probably know better than I do, but it's seeming to me that's a very pivotal age, because a young, you know, they're targeted towards girls. A young girl's coming out of childhood and entering into this time, which we all remember was very confusing, and so to have those questions, you know, what are you feeling when this happened? And it's just a great tool for girls to learn how to get inside their own spaces and their own heart and figuring out what they want. So
yes, and it also helps the mothers and the fathers realize what the kids are feeling and thinking, and getting them a little more comfortable to even share where they were growing up.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of parents are really afraid to share. Okay, maybe they smoked pot for a year in high school or something. They don't want to ever admit it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying whether to admit it or not, but there's tons of things that happen to you that can be shared with your children.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, you know, so you broke the window on the neighbor's house. I mean, does that mean your kid's going to be a delinquent because you share that you did something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it creates those really nice common experiences, and what I was thinking of when you were talking is that there's the things that the parents did that they may or may not want to share, but also the things that the parents felt growing up. Also,
right,
there can
exactly.
be that. So you also then, and I'm trying to get a lot into our little, you know, 30 minutes here, but you do one-on-one therapy work also. So let's spend our last few minutes here telling people a little bit what you do, what you offer, and how people can reach you.
Well, I've told a lot about my treatment room a little earlier in the show. Actually, I run a very small practice at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And truthfully, to be totally candid, I have enough clients, they find me somehow word of mouth, you know, in the state of New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Although if I'm not going to, certainly people are free to approach me. But I would say that at this point in my career, being in the wisdom years, supposedly, like I'm training another gal to be a clinical psychologist, and I get a lot of joy out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very involved in my work that I making videos that end up on YouTube, little teaching videos about a lot of these positive subjects, so that ordinary people can follow a lot of the concepts of wellness without having to use sophisticated language in order to join me.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a little video I've done on how kids feel when you move to a new town, and might just be 2 minutes that I put together one day when it was raining out, you know. But this is what I get a real joy from at this point, and turning the truth and secrets into a play called The Locket, because there is a locket in both books that the girl has been given by her aunt that's very significant.
Mm-hmm.
Turning it into a play and having kids act out the girl, her best friend, and even make up scenes in workshops where they create scenes based on the themes that were stimulated, but now it's not necessarily they're playing the girl. Maybe they're playing themselves, where they're making up a character.
Hmm.
It's like, it's just so wonderful that,
yeah.
you know, I do have to really be thankful for this expanded universe, and mm-hmm. this is where I'm at. So if anyone listening really wants to do me a favor,
mm-hmm.
nothing could be better than buying one of my books.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Not because there's much money in a, yeah. you know, a book. You get like 5 or 8%
yeah.
when you're with a publisher, but because it means my book will get out there and
mm-hmm.
someone will read it.
Mm-hmm.
And all my books are on Amazon as well as other places, and I have a major website, a couple of them I'll just mention briefly.
Mm-hmm.
One is enchantedself.com.
Okay.
Another is thetruthforgirls.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a new one. I'm sure it's operational, actually like this week, called just drbholstein.com. And when you go to Dr. B. Holstein, I should say Dr. B. Holstein.
Okay, Dr.
When you go there, it then gives you a choice of my different websites as well as giving you a quick overview of who I am.
Okay.
And come and find me. And
mm-hmm.
if you read one of my books, please write to me and
mm-hmm.
give me a little sense of what you liked and if there's anything you didn't like. I can handle it as long as you're reasonably humane in the way you put it.
Yeah, of course.
So.
Great. Well, it sounds like you have a book for everybody. Just as you're saying, that, you know, favorite things from The Enchanted Self for, you know, adults
right.
or practitioners,
right.
you know, down to the tweens and teens. So, again, for listeners, the websites were enchantedself.com and then truthforgirls.com
mm-hmm.
and then the new one, Dr. So, D-R-B Holstein, H-O-L-S-T-I-N.com. And then all your books are on Amazon. So I would suggest the listeners just go to one of those websites first, take a look. I imagine the
mm-hmm.
books are listed there.
Yes.
Yeah, so take a look, see what one looks good, and pick it up. Because I think, you know, Barbara, I think your approach, as I said in the very beginning, is great. I really love that the way that it came to you. I think it's very funny that your husband had the idea and then he forgot. You know, most men will claim, you know, claim ideas even when they're not there. So I think that shows the quality of him. You know? Yeah, and then you just really spent it. Clearly came to you as an inspiration, and then you were at the beginning of the curve of this positive psychology movement, and as you're saying, lots of people are doing things in this kind of an approach now, which is the best approach. You know, focus on what is good, focus on what's positive, and then that grows. So I love it, definitely.
Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you so much for your time. I know you're super busy, and I just really appreciate you spending this time with me and my listeners.
Thank you, Lynn. It was a pleasure talking to you, and I wish that we weren't 3,000 miles apart.
I know.
We could have lunch and really get to know each other. But
yeah,
anyway.
I know. That's how it goes. I know I always
yep.
make these wonderful connections, and but, you know, we'll stay in each other's circles.
Yes,
so,
thank
again,
you.
Yeah, and
okay.
Listeners, just thank you, and just be sure to tune in next week.
You've been listening to Create Your Reality on Amazing Women of Power Radio, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International. Tune in next Monday at 11:30 a.m. Pacific Time to hear more from Lynn and her guests. If you want to re-listen to this show or previous shows, you can find them at createyourrealityradio.com or createyourreality.podomatic.com. Thanks for listening.